Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As we record this, it was the state opening of Parliament today.
Oh yeah, a bit of a different one as well, wasn't it?
Well, it was, because there's a lot of speculation, because it's usually the Queen who does it. This is only the third time that she's missed it. Now, the Palace have said it's because of mobility issues, but they do take her there in a gold carriage, don't they?
Yeah, she doesn't have to walk.
No.
On her hands and knees.
Would it take that much, really, to have a gold mobility scooter just waiting for her for those last few metres into the House of Lords or wherever it is?
Why not?
Yeah. I think it'd be an updated, funky, fresh, modern look for the monarchy, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, so people have been speculating.
Have they?
As to what the real reason could be.
Okay.
And all these types of conspiracies circulate. A couple of months ago, people were convinced that she died, but because it coincided with the Russia-Ukraine invasion, that they were hushing it up.
Right. Too much on our
Exactly. People are just prone to this wild speculation. But I have been listening to whispers from my various sources.
Right.
And I think I know the real reason. She has missed some events recently and she didn't turn up to the state opening of Parliament today and make the speech.
Go on.
She's 96.
Oh, right.
She's
yeah.
96.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be getting suspicious if we don't see her at something. We should be amazed if we ever see her at anything ever again. Should be thinking, like, what the hell is she doing there? She's 96.
So
why isn't she dozing at home?
That's
what you want to be doing when you're at 96, just dozing in a chair.
Yeah, yeah. Not going to the state opening of Parliament. Oh, God.
Do you think she has, at home when she's in a chair, do you think she has... Like the footmen bring a tiny cloche with his originals in it.
Oh, no, she likes Bombay Mix, doesn't she?
Really?
Yeah, that's her thing. She has bowls everywhere. What?
Well, I'm just thinking about some years ago, it's probably 20 years ago at this point, the Daily Mirror sent a young reporter he got a job at Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
And they printed photographs of what it's really like in there in terms of the living quarters, not in terms of like the state rooms and all the opulence. But it just makes me think that if there are bowls of Bombay Mix everywhere, there's a lot of stale Bombay Mix.
There's a lot of dust on them.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Well, they're very big on Tupperware from what I remember.
Yes, massive.
They decanted their breakfast cereal into Tupperware.
Yeah, yeah. I remember a lot about that story. It was fascinating.
Was it called Ryan somebody?
Yeah, Ryan. Oh.
It'll come back to
you. Yeah, it wasn't the luxurious thing you were imagining, was it?
No.
No.
Which is weird when you think they're just being waited on hand and foot.
Mm.
But it's, as you say, it's not a tiny cloche with Worth of the Originals or Bombay Mix. It's probably some Tupperware.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a velvet cushion with a copy of Puzzler magazine being brought to her like a normal pensioner to do her word searches. It's probably like a tray from the seaside.
Probably, yeah.
Or something a member of the public sent.
Oh.
We'll have that.
Yeah.
It's so weird that people... I speculate in like this. I mean, it's just a facet of aging. You get to that old, you don't want to be going anywhere.
Of course you don't.
I mean, I'm not even 50, and you're more likely to see the Queen at a function than you are to see me.
How ridiculous is that? I know. Poor lady.
No. That being said, and I know this will sound surprising, but even as a drifter, I think that being a royal would be my ideal job.
Why do you think that?
Well, like I love being in the lap of luxury.
Right. I mean, as we said, it's not quite the lap, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'd like, you know. Yes, yeah, but if I was king, it would be.
Oh, I see. You'd make a few changes.
You'd
live in the bit the public allowed to visit.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
yeah.
live in the living quarters.
I'd be Carrie Johnsoning as well. I'd be going in there, right. Changing a few things.
Okay.
I always think that, going to go off on a tangent here, but you know, when they give like some palace or some bit of a palace to Prince William, who at the time is in his 20s, it's a building that in essence looks like a museum.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do they then have rooms that look like they've been furbished, I don't know, by Habitat? That's good, aging me slightly. Like, is it, do you know what I mean? Can he ever have modern furniture? Can he know what it is to have Scandinavian minimalist furniture?
No, we can't. It must just all be like bits, chairs with like curly whirly gold bits.
Yeah.
Weird.
So I think I would, you know, get interior designers in, but just I love a bit of opulence, but I think it's the reverence that I would enjoy,
right,
of the people who worked for me,
right.
And not because I want them being obsequious, right. But because it would take all the pressure out of interactions.
Because you just have to say that'll be it, sir.
I don't think you need to say anything. So,
right.
So if I go into my kitchen when the cleaner's here, I am apologising like I've accidentally wandered into a funeral during a eulogy. I'm like, oh, sorry, and like scarpering quickly. Whereas I don't think they're feeling like that, are they? The royals, they're just standing there like they're it while people buzz around them. Being deferential. Like Prince Charles, doesn't he just like strew his things on the floor?
Yeah. Why don't you just deploy that mindset in your own home?
Well,
I mean, it's easier said than done.
This is why I say I think being royal would suit me, you know. And then of course there's Prince Andrew, who then we all know what I'm gonna say.
What are you gonna say?
That time he drove his Range Rover into the gates of the castle because he couldn't open them, but he couldn't be bothered to drive for 2 minutes and go in up the other driveway.
Yeah.
So he just rammed it.
So it's that attitude,
yes,
that says it all.
Yeah, because here's the thing. When Prince Charles is strewing his clothes on the floor, or Prince Andrew is ramming his Range Rover into some gates because he doesn't want to get somebody to come open them, like, they're not worrying about these interactions.
Mm.
Like, it's not like Prince Andrew, from what I can see from, in a number of different scenarios, as it would appear, is one for saying, oh, do you know what? I'm awfully sorry. I've done a bit of self-reflection and, you know, I don't think that was great what I just did.
No.
But it's not even that, because, I don't want to be a monster. I don't want to be a monster. It's the way people are pre-briefed what to say when they meet you. So, you hear about people going and getting a knighthood or an OBE.
Mm.
They're told exactly how to speak to the Queen, how to stand, what to say.
Mm.
Like, think of every week I'm on this podcast talking about these awkward interactions that I'm having. You've got somebody to tell other people exactly how to speak to you to make sure the interactions go smoothly and take the awkwardness out.
It does sound nice.
Doesn't it? It takes all the unpredictability of the interaction.
We've never ever had an email from the Queen on this podcast.
No.
That says it all.
Yeah. And then, if you think about, like, even the State of Parliament, they call it the Queen's speech.
Mm.
But even with that, she doesn't have to worry about what she's thinking of something to say, because she's just reading out the government's legislative plan. That's like UN specific legislative plan. Like, she has no input in it. I know in the past you've said it's because she's an auto cutie, but
I regret the use of that phrase.
But I wonder if the real reason is that she's like a drifter, like she gets all tongue-tied and can't think of things to say and would blurt out something awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was a bear.
Or unlucky.
Unlucky.
Well, I wish you said unlucky.
Annabelle, we're going to hear from the drifters who answered our call for stories of social interaction, and we'd appreciate it if you could, if you haven't sent us yours yet, make sure you get round to it. We'd love to hear it. But also, you were just telling me before we started recording that the podication cupboard is, it's not that the cupboard's bare. What happens is we end up with these big backlogs, we work through them, and then you're open for applications again.
Yeah, I can't do you next week or the week after, but after that, you've got a good chance.
Okay.
Send one
of not waiting 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So it's hello at adriftpodcast.com. Same email address for your stories. Who's the first one from this week?
Andrew, who writes, I used to be the head technician in a regional theatre, and on one memorable night, the performer was none other than TV's Bradley Walsh. We were often understaffed. Sometimes I was just too shy to call people and ask them to come in. So on this occasion, there would be no stage manager in the wings. I would run the show on my own from the control room at the back of the auditorium. The setup for the show was simple. One mic for Bradley Walsh and one for his piano accompanist. At a certain point, disaster. Walsh's mic cuts out. He looks up to me in the control room while playing the moment for laughs with the audience. Ordinarily, there would be someone side of stage to assist, but tonight it's just me. I grab a new microphone and run backstage and into the wings, hiding behind the big red front curtains. I catch Walsh's eye and he moves towards me, stopping just short of the curtain, forcing me to edge closer to the audience's line of sight. Then, bright lights. Oh. Walsh has pulled the curtain away, revealing me to the sellout crowd. I freeze, microphone in outstretched arm. The audience finds this hysterical, which only goads Walsh on. He grabs the heavy red curtain and wraps it around the two of us, plunging us into near darkness. Walsh emerges, clutching the new microphone, and now with his trousers around his ankles, to uproarious laughter. I shuffle back to my control room. But the ordeal was not entirely over. Being a small theatre, we had quite a few regulars, and for months afterwards, I would be recognised. I would try in vain to convince them that it was not pre-planned. I was not in cahoots with Walsh. I was not part of the act. Then again, another unplanned highlight of that evening was when his trousers split. And having seen him perform elsewhere, it's apparent they can be called upon to split with some quite reliable comic timing. So who knows, maybe I was part of the act. Maybe we're all just pawns in Bradley Walsh's game of four-dimensional chess.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, one of the things that's great about Bradley Walsh is there is just a foot in old show business, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he's really good on the quiz shows and things that he does. But, you know, that's some vaudeville stuff right there.
I love that, yeah. Andrew gives us a little extra bit as well, unrelated.
Yeah.
We've been without a washing machine for the last few weeks, and a poorly timed trip to the laundrette left me with no choice but to leave the house with no pants on under my trousers. I found myself stood at the urinal in a public toilet and, without thinking, made quite a thing of miming the missing extra layer so that no one around me will suspect the horrible truth.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay, and this is from Tom. My story begins on a brisk March morning at Stansted Airport at 5 a.m, where the Brit in me decided it was a genius idea to indulge in a pint of Guinness prior to my early morning flight to Madrid to see a dear friend. I felt great for all of 10 minutes until I started to regret filling my empty, barely awake tummy with a delicious Irish stout. In true drifter style, I managed to faint on the plane without anyone noticing. I blacked out for a few nauseous moments before making a decent recovery with some colour back in my face in time for landing. I helped myself to the delights of the Madrid city, and feeling cocky, I found an Irish pub and enjoyed several more delicious pints whilst I waited for my friend to clock off from work. We made our way to the train back to her hometown of Getafe, just outside the capital. A day of rich food and booze started to catch up with me as I felt the familiar, daunting rumble of my lower guts.
Oh.
It was time. I had to find somewhere fast.
Oh.
Fortunately, I spotted a toilet on the train. Excellent, I thought, and my short ordeal would soon be over. But no, as I struggled to get the door of the facilities open, it became apparent that this toilet and all the toilets on the train had been out of order for some time.
Oh, no.
Such a time as the other commuters simply rolled their eyes at my efforts to access the facilities, making it evident that to me, the toilets simply never work on public transports in this city. And so I returned to sit with my friend with a full and urgent gut. Every bump on the train I could feel deep within my soul. It took everything not to capitulate to nature during the journey. Only my pride in front of who I considered to be a very esteemed friend and not wanting to cause any embarrassment to her. I also had not thought to bring me another pair of, I had not brought me another pair of clean jeans. I also felt, as all us Brits do, that I was representing my homeland. I was determined that as the only English man on this train, it was up to me to represent my homeland with dignity and honour, i.e. not turning this carriage into an open sewer in the name of Her Majesty the Queen. Somehow, some way, we reached our stop. I mentally prepared for what I thought would be a short walk to her apartment. If only. It was then a further 2 mile walk from the station to reach her flat.
God.
A journey that felt closer to 500 miles. This whole time, my esteemed Spanish friend had no idea the inner hell I was going through thanks to my earlier binge of greasy food and irresistible Irish stout. How was I going to explain the exorcism that would soon exit my intestines? How would I cover any undesirable smells that had surely steeped deeply by this point? In short, how was I going to get away with this? Upon reaching her flat, before I was able to relieve myself, a different relief washed over me. On opening the front door, my friend sheepishly apologised and explained her two house cats had diarrhoea and had completely stunk the place out. I could not believe my luck. I casually asked, "Where is the bathroom?" before making my way without trying to look in any way rushed. Once the deed was done, I was able to blame the resulting fumes of the bowel movement on her cats. I remember remarking to her, "Geez, these cats, eh? What have you been feeding them?" I slept soundly on her sofa that night, knowing I had avoided a complete disaster. But at times, I lie awake at night, wondering what could have been.
Do you know what you should have done?
Mm-hmm.
Employed the other port protocol.
Which is?
The one involving a side street and a garage.
Oh, please. Let us never speak of it again.
The reason we know about it is because you told us.
I know. I don't want to be reminded of it. I just had to relive it briefly then. Thank you.
Well, that was one of the early ways in which you... which you are not a fully functioning adult.
Yeah,
shall we move on to the latest?
Okay, yeah. So these are a few things that have been bothering me unduly this week. I'm thinking about too much when I could have been doing something useful like resurrecting my career. Sharks. Now, we only ever hear about them killing and attacking. It's their thing, right? But don't you think they'd be a lot better at it if they got rid of that fin sticking out of the water? Is this like really obvious calling card? I can't think of any other killers that let you know they're on their way first. Like, I don't think Jack the Ripper sent a telegram to his victims in advance. On my way, won't be long. I think if sharks...
It's like making him wear a high-vis vest.
It's like that. If sharks could be a bit more discreet and not have that very unambiguous "I'm coming to kill you" sign poking out of the water, maybe you're better at it's one thing, really, killing. It's like, what else are they known for? You didn't hear about any other hobbies. And it did strike me on around day 3 of thinking about this that they know the fin is a giveaway and maybe they do it on purpose as it makes it more interesting for them that we think we've got this advantage of the early warning. Excuse me. As it's too easy for them otherwise. It makes more sense as, like, wouldn't evolution have dealt with that fin by now? Surely they'd get way more food without it. But then I was reading, they can't swim without it. If they lose it, they just sink and die.
Really?
It's pathetic. I feel much less scared of them now. If they'd put that up on a screen, that with that information at the end of Jaws, it would have given me a lot more sleep-filled nights in the early 80s. Right, next one. I found myself having to explain religion to my 4-year-old who was asking what God was. And as I was explaining, it all sounded so far-fetched and religious that despite being a lifelong atheist, I started to think that there actually must be a higher being of an all-powerful God, as how else were we persuaded to believe in this? Like, nothing else made sense. So I was sort of saying to him, well, God, he's sort of a person, but not actually a person. And they made everything and they're in control of everything. And some people worship him by singing and saying words. And some people devote their whole lives to him. But no, you can't see him. And like nobody's ever seen him. And the way I see it, the only way this could ever have taken off is by divine intervention. So praise the Lord. God is good. Last one. That expression, killing two birds with one stone. I found myself saying it the other day, and then I thought, well, that's a nice expression, conveying it's good to be able to do two things at once, with the analogy of birds being killed by a stone.
Yeah.
Like, who's stoning birds? I don't even want a stone.
One weapon, two murders.
Yes. I don't even want a stone to death that pigeon who once held me hostage for around 15 minutes in the greetings card shop cards galore. Like, I wasn't very happy with him, I will say that. But had I found myself with a stone in my hand after, I wouldn't have thought, I'm going to stone him. I'm also quite interested in how...
People don't say stone the crows as an exclamation.
No, that was something else I was thinking of. Yeah. I think they do still say
it. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, stone the... No, I don't want to stone the crows. Thank you very much. I'm also quite interested in how two birds are killed with one stone. Like, is it just a lucky shot? Do you throw, it hits one, and then the stone ricochets off and hits the other bird and kills that too? Or is it that they've tied up two birds and they're just using the same stone to beat up these poor creatures?
Oh, I was thinking of it more... Oh, no, it's too graphic what I was about to say.
Oh, we're all dying to know.
Well, I was going to evoke the Kennedy assassination, but I've decided against it.
Okay.
Doesn't it sort of go through and Jackie gets splattered?
Oh.
I think like the...
I bet that we all had something in our head about how it was done.
But then, you know, if you notice how easy it was for me to completely backtrack and say, I'm not going to say this really, put this really disgusting image into people's heads. And
still
then you went, oh, go on then. Oh, yeah, well, it's too complicated to think of a way of saying it, but not saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So I guess I've never thought the stone goes through one bird.
Hmm.
I think maybe I've imagined that this person, and you know, as a parent of a child who is a member of the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds,
yes.
I don't endorse
my,
it all.
My boyfriend is a member as well, so
is we're, he?
But we're,
right,
we've
yeah.
come from bird loving families.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think I've always thought of somebody like catapulting a stone at a bird,
yeah.
and it hitting the bird with such force
yeah.
that it then. Hits the bird into another bird and takes them both down.
Oh, so actually the second bird is the victim of the first bird. The first
yes,
bird
but the stone is still propelling it.
Yeah.
The force of the stone.
Or maybe they're sitting really close together
and
the stone gets both, the stone's big enough to get both of them.
Mm.
Anyway, I think we've thought about it too much now. That's it from me. Praise the Lord God is good.
Stone the crows. I'll tell you another horrible thing, because it is... Recently, I found myself playing Hangman with Jean.
Yeah, kids game.
Horrible.
Yeah, so horrible.
So what's this
How
game, Dad?
Weird.
Well, this is a structure that they used to hang people from.
God.
And the news came.
What
was that? But what's that got to do with guessing letters? Well, nothing really. I mean, there's probably any number of doodles that we could make.
Yes, limitless, actually.
But we're going to go with this one of somebody being executed in a particularly brutal way.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Like a little jumble sale for you when you got here tonight, wasn't it?
Oh yes, yeah. I had a little rummage through some of your son's old clothing.
So got some hand-me-downs for Rudy.
Yeah.
I cleared it. Sarah was away for the weekend, so I cleared out a lot of stuff that doesn't fit him from his wardrobe, which also meant that I needed to go and do a bit of clothes shopping with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in a way that I'm sure annoys people. Like, I can spend endless amounts of time with him, but doing that is not my favourite thing.
I've never done it, actually. I've only ever bought things online. Does he try things on?
We did a bit of that this weekend. God. Which was reminding me, I've got memories of my mum making me try underpants on at a market stall.
Oh, no.
Like, there's no changing room.
Oh, no. Oh.
But, yeah, it's not my favourite thing. Like, so what I end up... Because he's a funny size. I never quite know what size he is. He's, you know, they grow so fast, don't they? Don't they, though? They grow so fast. So then I take him to a shop and I'm constantly telling him that the shop doesn't... You'll see something that I think is not nice.
Right.
So I'll say, oh, they don't have that in your size.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And it's amazing because it's like magic words that he hasn't yet learned to question.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be really easy for him when he starts putting the pieces together.
Yeah, yeah.
His size is in the back of his clothes.
Yeah, you've not got
And
long.
He can look at... but just I'm just enjoying it while it lasts because it is this spell that is unbroken at the moment. He's not yet learned to question it, unlike his choice of outfit every day, which he is extremely opinionated about at this point and won't be told. So every morning I get an insight as to what it must be like to be Madonna's wardrobe assistant. Like, I really preferred it when he was like this little doll that I could play dressy uppy with.
Mm-mm.
I loved it. I really used to love it. And he, the thing is, he really likes his clothes and he has very strong opinions on what he will wear on any given day.
Oh, God, he doesn't wear school uniform either, does he? No. So this is like every day you have to go through this.
And then
That's
he gets
exhausting.
Like really specific things in his head, like he'll decide out of nowhere that he wants to wear two button-down shirts, one on top of another.
Oh, that's very JLS, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, circa, you know,
right,
2010
right. Okay.
or whatever.
Okay. Or like he'll wear camouflage trousers with a blazer on top, but then nothing underneath, with just his belly out.
Oh.
Like Simon Le Bon in Hungry Like a Wolf video.
Well, it's a look.
So the sort of the trouble when we go clothes shopping is twofold. Firstly, I search stuff out in the shop. I then ask him if he likes it, and he goes, "Yes, I love it." I then buy it, and he wears it once and then refuses to ever put it on again.
Oh, that's annoying.
That happens with some frequency. And then secondly, it's this business of his taste clashing with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, he's so obsessed with Pokemon that he just wants to wear items of clothing that are merch for Pokemon.
Okay, yeah.
I think mix it up a bit. Wear a blazer over that Pokemon t-shirt or a shirt. You know, he wears so much Pokemon merch that I feel like the Pokemon Corporation should be giving me advertising revenue.
Right.
Which I would then, of course, put in a trust fund until he's 18. Of course.
Obviously.
Although it is easy to see how people embezzle their children. Like, we had a window cleaner around the other day and it was a fiver short. And didn't have any cash in the house. And I thought, oh, Jean's money box.
Oh.
So I just went and got it out there. Put it back.
You have, you sure?
Yes, yeah, But, you know, so you can see how it's a slippery slope from there, isn't it? Oh, just on the window cleaner, Sarah texted him after he left to say there were some watermarks that he hadn't wiped off the glass properly.
Really? She's so brave.
Don't you think? Yes, I think it's so strange. So you wouldn't do that either?
No, because remember I tried to say something once and it was all just humiliating.
Yeah, you can't say anything.
No, it's impossible. It was just awful. I never saw him again.
They can come and do as bad or as good a job as they like, but you're at just the mercy of... Mm. It's like an artist, isn't it? You're commissioning an artist.
Yeah.
You get what you're given.
Did she ask him to come back?
He ignored her text.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's what happened to me then. Oh, gosh.
And then... it was actually, like, some of it was on... In our kitchen, we've got, like, a sloping... What do they call it? A side return.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's, like, sloping glass ceiling on one side.
Mm.
And it was on there and it was driving her mad. But fortunately, a bird had diarrhea on it the next day.
Fortunately?
Yeah, so you weren't thinking about the watermarks anymore.
It's better to see diarrhea than a watermark.
Well, it distracted from the watermarks.
Right, right, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Why was I telling you that? Pokemon. Mm. So Jean loves Pokemon, and I alluded to this or talked a bit about it the other week. I have become seriously obsessed with Pokemon Go, the game.
Oh, yeah, you played it on your own once,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I told you it was when he's at school, I sometimes open the app on my phone and it was becoming a bit of a habit.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a habit. It is now a problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to think of how to talk about this in a way that will keep you engaged.
Right, yeah, because bear in mind that me and probably lots of people don't know anything about this.
Yes. So,
maybe don't want to.
Well, so it's a game you have on your phone where you walk around the streets in real life, looking at the map on your phone, and different Pokemon creatures will appear and you have to catch them, right?
Right.
And the other thing you're doing is collecting tokens or candies, as they call them. You still with me?
Yeah.
Thought I'd throw in the candy because of that sweet tooth of yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, Saturday. Gene catches one of his favourite Pokemons. Pokemon? I'm not sure. But then, so he's got one of his favourites, but if he can collect enough of these candies, we can feed it to this Pokemon, and then he will evolve into not just one of Gene's favourites, his absolute favourite of all time.
Right.
And that's the position we're in at the point he goes to bed on Saturday night.
Okay.
And you collect these candies literally by walking. It's like it's linked into the step count on your phone that you would use on a Fitbit or whatever.
Right.
So then after he's gone to bed, I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, wouldn't it be magical if he wakes up tomorrow and I announce to him that he can now evolve this Pokemon into his favorite of all time? It's all ready to go. I think, what a happy childhood memory that will be.
Yeah.
What a magical adult. What a magical dad. What a great adult he will grow up to be with a wonderful magical childhood memory like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically spent Saturday night walking up and down. So that my step count would go up, so that this thing would collect candies, so it'd be ready for him to do the next day. So at first, I did it in the living room.
Yeah.
And it looked a bit like nervous pacing, you know, like you're waiting to hear about a hostage situation or something. But then I checked my phone and the steps weren't really registering.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, I'm lucky. Like, I live in a house, which not many people get to do in London. But you know, it's still a house with stuff in it.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
like a coffee table in the middle of the front room. If I go in the kitchen, I have to circumnavigate the dinner table. And there's something about that which means the step count isn't going up at a rate that's going to that's going to do this. So I'm thinking, what can I do? Because I can't go out because he's asleep in bed. Sarah's away, and it's frowned upon still to leave children unaccompanied in a house for periods of time.
It is, especially if they're going around on a Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you tether them to something. Even though, have you noticed rains seem to be making a bit of a comeback?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So then I hit on this brilliant idea. I decide that I am going to pace up and down the stretch of pavement immediately outside our house.
No.
So
no.
Yes. So he never wakes up, right? Once he's down. But just in case, I devise a circuit which involves me walking out of my front door to the corner, which is basically two doors down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then walking back past the house to the perimeter of the house, two doors in the other direction.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the length of five terraced houses there, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And then on after I've completed that, I then loop back to the front door, which I've left ajar, and I put my head inside and just intently listen for a second, just in case anything, you know, he's woken up, which, as I say, never happens. And then I do it again.
How long did you have to do this for?
I did it for almost 2 hours.
You did not?
Yeah.
You didn't?
Yeah.
That's the most insane thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
You did it for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Just walking like backward. What did your neighbours think?
Well, I knew you were going to ask that. So, I mean, that occurred to me. So Nothing is the answer because I did it after midnight. I did it between roughly midnight and 2 a.m.
Oh, please. I hope someone noticed.
Well, as I went into the house for the final time, it occurred to me that next door, and by next door, I mean our doors are literally side by side with a low, you know, like a low wall in between that's like centimeters away from each other. They've got one of those security doorbell cameras. And those things, they get tripped on if there's any movement. And they collect images of any suspicious movement and then send like notifications and photos.
No, no.
So my next door neighbor will have woken up on Sunday morning to all these weird pictures of me sort of going in and out of the house.
For 2 hours. Wow.
Yeah.
Have they said anything?
Not yet, no.
You're probably too scared to.
Yeah, I think so. I've probably been reported to someone. Yeah.
Did you get a good reaction?
Well, do you want to know how it went?
Desperately.
So he comes in the next morning and gets in bed with me as he does. And I say, Gene, what would you say if I told you that someone had spent the night collecting candies so you can evolve Pokemon Riolu into Pokemon Lucario? And he went, can I have a t-shirt of it?
No. That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Which I was then able to use as bait to get him into a clothes shop. Which is where we started. And I know I've wanged on a lot here, so I'll try and keep this short. But so we go to this clothes shop and I use this T-shirt as bait. But really, I'm there to like get him some new trousers and stuff. So I'm busy like rifling through racks of trousers and he's wandered off to the other side of the shop. And I hear him shout, Dad! Dad, I want this, please, please. I love it. And I look over and it is a long lime green summer dress.
Okay.
Now, at that point, my heart sinks. Mm. And not because I've got any problems with boys wearing dresses. I mean, that stuff's just made up, isn't it? It's just made up. There weren't any dresses or trousers. It was just pelts and skins.
Yeah.
And then at some point in like a part of the world, like the particular culture decided, no, these are for boys, these are for girls. And it's completely arbitrary. Mm-hmm. So I got no problem with that. And I don't get people being hung up on that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I say this as a man who has enjoyed a sarong on holiday before now. I think primarily for the ventilation.
Right.
Although unless you're standing over an air vent like Marilyn Monroe, you need to assist it.
Right.
You get maybe ask my son to just stand nearby with a fan.
Yeah.
While I prop my legs up.
Nice image. Thank you.
Or my wife. Mm. Maybe that's more appropriate. Anyway, the two reasons that I don't want him, I don't want to buy him a dress. Number one, like, he has never shown any interest in that shade of lime green before. And I just know it's going to be one of those things where I spend the money and he wears it once and then refuses to ever put it back on again.
Right.
But the much bigger factor is this.
Mm.
So I see in our neighbourhood a lot of boys, little boys wearing dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said, I genuinely don't care. I think it's strange that people would care. But what I suspect might be going on is it's less that the boys want to wear dresses and more about competitive parents trying to outdo each other and show how relaxed and progressive they are about not enforcing gender stereotypes.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just sure that in our postcode, there have been like many birthdays and Christmas mornings where some kid is saying to his parents, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I never really thought about getting a doll. I never really thought about a rah-rah skirt before, but sure, whatever, I'll wear it. Mm. Like, it's like coming from the parents to some extent. And I'm not saying that I've ever seen a kid like forced into a dress against his will. Like, they all seem perfectly fine. But what I've definitely clocked, it's just like a look, an expression, like parents looking thrilled with themselves and like palpably smug about like what open-minded free thinkers they are. And I just don't want to be one of those people.
Right.
I just can't be part of that gang. Here's what I want.
Mm.
I want to have my cake and eat it, by making sure that I communicate exactly how modern and progressive my attitudes are on the podcast, but at the same time, mock people for doing the exact same thing in my neighbourhood. That's what I want. Anyway, I told him they didn't have it in his size.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Campbell, let's have a quandary corner at the GLAP clinic here in Problematic.
Okay, so I've just taken a little swig of water there.
Oh, it's nice water.
Nice water.
No, water is nice, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
it's
nice
one of
drink.
My favourites.
If you listen to this and you haven't tried it,
oh, it's so good. Yeah, you've got to try it. Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice out of the tap.
Mm.
Although that can vary depending on where you live, but yeah, as a rule, it's nice. It's also nice if you ever see a fridge with a water dispenser on it.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice temperature, but if
you get it fizzy.
Yeah, you can get it fizzy.
That's nice.
And if you don't have access to one of those temperature things, you can put ice in it.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Ice in itself actually is a form of water.
Yeah.
No, it's nice. Yeah.
Top tip for you there. Oh, so GLAP clinic, rural school.
Yes.
I've got a few things to clear up first.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think I know what this is going to be about.
So one small thing. I think this is me that said this. Could have been you. But Tom says the wicket is not the stumps. It's the green strip of grass that the stumps stand on.
Oh.
But Joe last week, who was writing about a colleague who said, I resemble that remark instead of I resent that mark. There's been quite a few suggestions about it, including that it's some kind of banterous thing. But someone, in fact, we should have their name, but someone on Twitter and someone on email, haven't got their name, sorry, said that it's from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, and then I feel embarrassed because I feel like I should be have a depth of pop culture to know that.
Yeah.
I feel like we embarrassed ourselves a bit by not knowing that, but
yeah, JoJo said it on Twitter.
Three Stooges shown on TV that often when we were kids?
I know. So
it was all Harold Lloyd and Laurel and Hardy. Why should I be beating myself up about not knowing some sort of classic black and white comedy?
So this guy is obviously referencing for his own entertainment because nobody under the age of 40 probably knows that this film.
Or 50, as it turns out.
50, yeah. So just wanted to clear that up.
But then it says a very different thing in that he's basically got a dad joke that he liked repeating.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, should you indulge that kind of thing?
Mm. I think all everything we said before still stands.
Can you remember what we said before?
Nope. No. Okay. So let's move on to today's ones then. First was from Commander Karen of the High Seas. How do I get my therapist to admit that I'm her favourite client? We've been working together since June of last year and she's been of great help to me. I got beyond the initial shyness and weirdness of having to talk about myself so much and I became chattier and wittier as time went on. My texts are funny and she often replies with an equally funny one and a laughing emoji, which can only mean one thing, of course. She wants us to be besties. I feel like she's on the verge of saying, you know what, let's just meet up as friends and have a beer and chat like normal people do, you know, without sending you a bill at the end. And then we can talk about her other clients and she can admit how annoying they are and how I'm her favourite. Also, the last few times I've talked to her on FaceTime, she's been looking at another screen as she talks and listens to me. It is quite upsetting, but I don't want to say anything because what if she then hates me? After all, she may be reading notes about me she wrote previously. I truly don't think so. Or what if she's watching a live camera of her elderly mother who is in a care home and she believes is not being taken care of properly? I just made that up, but you never know. Or reading Psychology for Dummies to try and figure out what the hell is wrong with me. I'm stuck. Help.
You see, any therapist worth their salt, if they got a whiff of you wanting to be their favourite, they then start with the, and why is that important to you?
Oh, no, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
But actually, Karen, why is it important to you? That's what you need to ask yourself.
Like, I heard about an acquaintance recently who left their marriage and has moved in with their therapist.
Oh, so it happened.
Yeah, so because you think that there's some kind of ethical divide that can never be crossed.
Because I was just thinking, and I didn't want to say it because it might come out as harsh, but I don't think a therapist has ever said, let's just be friends.
Maybe, no.
What about your mother-in-law, Lynn Barron? I wonder if it's ever happened to her.
I mean, if it was going to happen to anybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I even think with her, there'd be, she'd have a sense of boundaries, I guess. I have had So Sarah's therapist, who she's seen on and off forever. Have you seen couples therapy?
No, not yet. No.
It's brilliant, but her therapist is very much that kind of analyst that you see in that, where they are completely neutral and ask the right question. Because there's different types of therapy. The therapist I've seen most over the past decade is more, it's a chat, and he'll tell me things about his life and share examples of things that have happened to him. That there's a reason why that's appropriate in the type of therapy that he does. Whereas I think Sarah would think, if a therapist lets you know anything about themselves and what they think, then they're not doing their job properly.
Yes. But I think what we're saying is, it's not going to happen, and you need to stop wanting
it to happen. Well, either she's a bit unprofessional, but I'll be a great friend, or it's not going to happen. Mm. But this therapist I've seen, for like a decade, we've texted each other every now and again about stuff. We are friends on Facebook, which Sarah is mystified by.
Yeah.
But again, there's a sort of reason for that I can't go into because of privacy.
And you can't make the first move anyway.
No. And there's one time, anyway, in the past, I had a therapist who I saw him and what I presume was his wife in the street, and I greeted him with a friendly hello. And he didn't make eye contact, just went hi and carried on walking. Because he must have had that, whatever that boundary thing is.
It
was not appropriate. And so you need to find out where she stands on that stuff.
But how do you find that out? Ask her? No.
Pose as a
survey? Pose as a survey.
Well, you're doing a school project. Make an email address and say you're doing a school project.
About therapists.
Yeah.
Could you answer a few questions for me?
Yeah.
There we go.
What about the second?
Would you ever be friends with your favourite client?
Yes. Do you have a favourite?
Yeah.
Not asking you to name names, just give us why they're your favourite.
Okay, we might have solved that. What about the second screen? Yeah. Well, you can't mention it, can you?
I had a therapist nod off on me once.
No.
Very briefly.
Did you have a sense that you were being boring?
Well, in a sense, I think that's what therapy is.
Right.
It's the only time in my life where I get to just talk. And I mean, people might not believe it from listening to the podcast, but not worry about whether what I'm saying is interesting in any way. I think maybe there's some points during lockdown where this podcast got a bit more like me in a therapy session. It was a sort of meandering, pointless navel gazing. But the therapist in question was extremely apologetic. And then the one I mentioned to, I saw in the street and didn't speak to me, he used to type notes as I was talking, like he was a stenographer.
Oh.
And I found that quite weird.
I'd love that. I want them to take notes. I want them to be like some like personal project that they're fascinated in and they needed to have notes. One day they were going to turn it into a great lecture.
But I get it if it's a notepad. There was just something about the typing that I felt would take you slightly out of the moment.
Yeah, interesting.
But I don't know. So what else could be on the second screen? Maybe they're playing Pokemon Go.
To be honest, probably. But you can't mention it because if you do, you're criticising them. And you can't criticise someone in their job.
How would you feel this is what I'd say if it was a therapist. Yeah. How do you feel about the idea that I might be looking at something else on the other screen?
Yeah, I'd feel like I wasn't getting your full attention.
And why is that?
Because I'm paying you.
No, sorry, why is that? Why is that a problem for you?
Because I'm paying you.
If you think about your body, is there a place in your body where you can feel that feeling? Is it an anger? Is it?
Yeah, it's in my tummy.
It
makes my tummy feel hard inside.
Can you remember any other times where you've had that feeling?
Oh wow, you should be a therapist.
I shouldn't be this.
That
was more like the stuff that the guy who ignored me and blanked me in the street used
to say.
Listen,
this is
the
clear reason why you should never bring it up, because I found that quite hellish. Right, let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
From Lee in Portsmouth. This is regarding being in a restaurant and asking for the card machine at the same time as the bill. Are there any occasions when this is okay? Like when solo travelling and on a day excursion or similar, when you have to be back at a certain time to get to your return coach, etc. and the service has already been slow, what should I do? Especially if throughout the meal it's already been difficult to attract the server's attention.
Yeah.
Or we've been outside and the server is inside. This happened to me recently and I eventually had to go to the bar to pay. Now, this is interesting. Remember when we had the secret waiter on?
Yes.
I didn't know that it was a big no-no to ask for the machine, when the machine comes, to ask a pay at the same time.
And what, can you remember why that was?
No.
Our memories are so awful.
I remember him saying it and thinking, yes. I had no idea was bad. So it's asking for the card machine at the same time as the bill, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I think if you do it in an apologetic way, though. Well, I know, but...
Why is it annoying?
What you can't say to them. Well, I don't know. We'd need to go back and listen to that episode because it's clearly fallen out of our heads.
Yes.
But I do think there's a way of being apologetic. As long as you acknowledge that you're being a nuisance and say, I'm so sorry, I'm on a time crunch. Would it be possible to get the bill and pay at the same time? Because presumably the lag is there for the customer because you'd want to go through and check your bill, check every item. Whereas all I'm ever looking at is service included? And if it is, how can I communicate to them that I know service is included and I don't think I'm giving them the amount without a tip on it? See what I mean?
Yeah.
I've become very paranoid about that.
I think as long as you acknowledge the fact that you know that it's not the thing to do, because I didn't know that before. So you're already like being one of them by acknowledging it. So if you're saying, I know this is a big no-no, but could you possibly?
Yeah.
I think that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. We've got to get back for the dog sitter.
Acknowledge it, give a reason.
Yeah, would it be possible to just get the bill and the... Because then what I would do if there was a waiter and it annoyed me, I'd just have added some extra things onto the bill knowing that they wouldn't have to check it properly.
There you go. Yeah. They'll get their revenge, don't worry.
Send us yours, please, if you have a quandary for us here in Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. Send us your quandary and your podication, which we'll come on to in a minute. But if you would like an episode of this podcast dedicated to you, we are accepting those at the moment. And as ever, let's not let the trickle turn into a dribble again. Is dribble more than a trickle? No, dribble definitely less than a trickle.
Definitely. And if you've got any quandaries as well, it was always nice to have a full flow of those.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Sorry, you got me thinking about my prostate now.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I'd love to know, when it goes, is that just it?
You're asking me.
Well, I am biologically, but, it is alarming to me, the situation I find myself in.
I don't think, I'm guessing the full flow won't come back, no. Is that what you're
asking? Yes, yeah. Or being able to... I think I've said before on the podcast, it's like, you know, when they're going around collecting the scores on Eurovision. Oh, it's Eurovision this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And in some countries, the satellite technology isn't up to it. So they say, OK, Belarus, let's have your points, please. And then there's a long pause before they give them.
Mm-mm.
That's like me going to the toilet and thinking, OK, I'm going to start urinating now. And then it's starting. And is that just it? And is that gap is only going to increase?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You have to go to the toilet an hour before or something.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
No, I shouldn't expect you to.
No.
Why did we get onto that? The trickle and the dribble, podications.
Yes. Full flow.
Full flow, quandaries, stories, please. hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And what should we have from this week's episode? How about, geez, these cats, eh? What have you been feeding them? All right, podication time. And this comes from Jack, witness the fitness of the reflection of perfection, McMorrow, who says, greetings to all.
Greetings.
Greetings, old friend. I have a very odd podcation request. See, as I was coming out of WrestleMania Night 2 at the AT&T Stadium, I was feeling quite happy. I'd twice seen my favourite wrestler ever, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think he's like an American Les Kellett. Stone Cold Steve Austin that weekend after he retired 19 years before. It was also an excellent WrestleMania, something of a rarity these days. They'd also given me a disabled seat without question after seeing my walker. I'd also waited 2 years and changed for it. My podcation isn't for the people running the event, although cheers everyone, but when I was leaving for my coach back into Dallas, an employee came up to me with a clipboard. After asking my name, they then asked if I'd like a golf buggy ride to my bus. After less than 83 seconds thought, I said yes, and I tipped the lovely driver $23.
Oy.
Good for you, Jack. Nice. Old Daddy Warbucks there. Unfortunately, I didn't get the name, but I'd hope a podication to unnamed golf buggy driver and my tip will help. So says Jack. Well, I feel like the story of Jack's American trip was almost a little soap opera in itself
in
the podications.
All lived it, yeah.
So we're so pleased it went well.
Yeah. Good to hear.
Yeah. And yeah, good to hear from you, Jack, as ever. If you would like a podication, email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.